Welcome everyone this morning to our Commissioner's Court. As we begin, I'm going to ask for a volunteer for them to stand, and if they would come to the podium and pray for us to start our meeting off today. Would somebody do that for us, please? Great. Also, if you would, and we'll all stand when we do this, if we would have a moment of silence before you pray for the victims in the Colorado shooting and the one first responder that was killed, the officer. So we have a moment of silence, and then when you're ready to pray, just pray.
Lord, we come to you today and just ask that you would be with those families that are suffering today, Lord, that those that have lost in the tragedy yesterday, Father, that you would be with them. We lift them up to you in prayer for strength and for guidance and for healing at this time. Lord, just be with us here today in this place as we come together as a community to try to make good, sound decisions, Father. Lord, we pray that every decision is made here today, that it would be blessed by you.
Amen. Thank you. Sarah, pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, and you may be seated. Let the record reflect this morning that all of our commissioners are present. And do we have a motion to approve the court agenda today?
Move.
Second? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right, at this time, we take time each commissioner's court to give our citizens an opportunity to say some things. We do ask that you would limit your conversation to 3 minutes. We have a timer just for efficiency's sake. So is there anyone here who would like to present to us this morning comments from our citizenry? All right. Thank you. If there are none, proclamations and resolutions and presentations. Presentation of Employee of the Month.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Tracy Hutchison, and I'm the chairman from the Montgomery County Employees Committee. Today, we're presenting March Employee of the Month. They will be receiving a plaque today. So can I please have Michael Holbrook from our IT department to come up and present for us today?
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Judge. My name is Michael Holbrook.
If you would speak into the mic.
Sorry.
So if it's, we can.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
My name is Michael Holbrook, and I'm the IT manager of the county, part of the IT Information Technology Department. I'm honored to be here today to present Daniel Kennard with the Employee of the Month Award. Before I brought you up here, I didn't realize you knew. I wrote a few things down to highlights to understand, you know, what he's been doing for the past 8 months since he's been working with us. Daniel Kennard joined the IT department 8 months ago to be the primary IT support contact for the courts. One of Daniel's first projects was to assist in the deployment of over 60 point-of-sale machines. With Daniel's help, this project was completed in under 2 weeks. Daniel went above and beyond to produce support documentation for other technicians on how to set up and configure these new systems. Since then, Daniel has gone on to complete over 1,600 help desk tickets and IT service requests. Daniel also played an integral role in the deployment and support of the COVID work-from-home laptops. For many county employees, it was their first time working remotely. Daniel Kennard made this transition easier by assisting numerous employees on how to use VPN and helping them connect from home. These are just a few examples of Daniel Kennard's outstanding work ethic over the past 8 months. Finally, Daniel provides the absolute best customer service. I have been approached countless times from different courts and other county employees that praise Daniel Kennard's service. Thank you for your service and dedication to the county, and round of applause.
Thanks, you guys. Congratulations, Daniel. All right, item B under proclamations, presentation of performance recognition award by Texas Department of Motor Vehicles Executive Director Whitney Brewster.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners. My name is Whitney Brewster. I'm the Executive Director of the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles. And I am so pleased to be able to join you this morning to recognize Montgomery County Tax Assessor Collector Tammy McRae and her office for achieving the Gold Level Award through our department's Performance Quality Recognition Program. This is a multi-level recognition program. There is bronze, silver, and gold. And it measures various criteria, but I do want you to know that this program, since the inception of the program, only four counties of all 254 have achieved that gold level. And so for tax assessors meeting the gold level, they have demonstrated superior title and registration services, and they've demonstrated compliance with statutory requirements of the Office of the Tax Assessor Collector, as well as shown an outstanding commitment to fighting fraud, providing a high level of customer service, and investing employees to make sure that they're trained and are abiding by processes and procedures. Not only did Montgomery County meet these challenges, but I do want to remind everybody that it was done during the pandemic, during 2020, during a particularly challenging time. And this is not an easy award to receive. And so I could not be more proud of Montgomery County, and I know that this well-earned achievement is something that Montgomery County and its residents should be proud of as well. And so I'm very pleased to be able to present the Gold Level Award to Tammy McRae and the Montgomery Tax Assessor Collector's Office. So please join me in.
Well done.
Congratulations, Tammy, and to your staff. Well deserved.
Absolutely.
Speech.
This would not be possible without my outstanding team that's back in those five offices. I do have a few of them here with me today. If y'all will please stand.
Let them stand.
These are a few of the managers out of the Conroe office. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Job,
we appreciate it very much. All right. Item C, presentation of AgriLife Extension Office. Our 2021 Walk Across Texas Montgomery County.
Good morning. Thank you for your continued support of Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. We are always so pleased to be here to be able to serve Montgomery County. I've got Mike McBride, who is our program assistant, and Rose Cervantes, who is our program coordinator. So Walk Across Texas is an 8-week physical challenge. It's actually been mostly virtual, but there is some opportunity for team involvement. So although we weren't able to come to court last year to do our proclamation kickoff event, we did have Walk Across Texas, and it did happen, but we're back to do it even bigger and better this year. So it begins on or about April 1st. We let teams kind of choose when they want to start so that we can get as many included as possible. I'm also happy to say that this year we are partnering with Next Level and the Employee Wellness Clinic so that people can go get a wellness check before they start and then after, and that'll kind of help them visualize their goals and see their progress that they're making with the project. Awesome. So without further ado, I'd like to go ahead and read the resolution. This is a resolution for the Montgomery County Walk Across Texas Community Challenge 2021. Whereas Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service works daily to make Texas better by providing innovative solutions at the intersection of agriculture, natural resources, youth, and health, thereby improving the well-being of individuals, families, businesses, and communities through education and service. Whereas we are committed to promote collaboration and action in local businesses, schools, faith-based communities, and organizations to inspire healthy choices in every aspect of life. And whereas we strive to be the leader in providing science-based information and solutions in agriculture and health to every Texan. And whereas we serve each of the Montgomery County's thriving communities. And whereas 2020 was a difficult year that interrupted much of our lifestyles and healthy behavior choices. And whereas Texas A&M AgriLife Extension has determined the Walk Across Texas program provides motivation and results to attain an optimal level of health and economic stability, the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County recognizes the Montgomery County Walk Across Texas Community Challenge and encourages participation throughout the county. Thank you all so much.
Excellent. Thank you so much. We appreciate it very much. All right. Do I have a motion? Let's move on to item number 9A. We don't need to vote on that, do we?
To accept the resolution.
Do we need to move on that?
Yeah.
All right. We have a motion to accept the resolution from AgriLife.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you coming in and presenting that to us. All right. County Clerk's Office. Consider and approve Commissioner Court minutes from regular session dated March 9, 21 is submitted. We have a motion to approve.
Move.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right, as we move forward on our consent agenda, do we have any modifications that we would like to make to that? Amy, you had one, I think, that you were going to mention to us.
Defer 1002A on page
9.
Okay.
Are we going to defer that? Okay.
Yes, we'll be bringing that back.
Okay.
I've got one I need to move to open if I could.
Okay.
On page 10 of 13, Q6. I'd like to move that to open.
Okay.
And I'd like to take that with my agenda item 21A2 together.
Okay, we can do that. Over on page 13 of 13, commissioners on a precinct, it'd be a 21A. We'll take it at that time, correct?
Okay.
Good.
That's
fine. All right.
Move with modifications.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Let's move forward to our open agenda. Consider and approve a resolution order renewing and extending the declaration of local disaster for a public health emergency for a period of 30 days. As you know, we've been doing this on a 30-day basis. It's going to expire on April 17th. And, you know, guys, we're getting close to the end where we won't have to keep doing this, I think, unless something else comes up. But we'll need a motion to continue with emergency declaration.
Move.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Opposed?
Motion carries. Thank you. Emergency Management, Jason Millsaps.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
Item A is consider to take appropriate action regarding the vaccine update. So far, we are having great success with Wood Forest Stadium. The traffic flow changes that we made last court day a couple weeks ago on Tuesday have worked out very well. It's kept traffic off of the feeder and keeping traffic moving on David Memorial, not bogging up back in and into Tamina and down into Oak Ridge. So we've had great success there. As of this morning, we've completed 153,000 vaccines in the county among all providers, not just the hub providers, but all providers. And moving right along, there's a lot of questions surrounding the new shot, Johnson & Johnson. It's not something that's going to be at our hubs anytime soon. The state and the feds are pushing that out to more rural areas. So we will see fewer doses of that Johnson & Johnson shot here at least for the next few weeks, maybe months. But still have ample supply of Moderna and Pfizer, and we're trying to get reservations in as fast as we can.
What is this? How many second shots? The 153 represents total shots.
If I break
shots,
it down, I'll be,
that are
I'll be doing this by memory. I believe we're just shy of 100,000 first shots administered. We're thinking we're right at 97,000 and some change, and we're at 56,000 second fully vaccinated doses done. So
good. We've outrun the amount of infections.
Yeah, correct.
Jason, as much as it pains me to read this to you, I have a statement from a constituent. It says, the Wood Forest COVID site ran extremely smoothly. Jason Millsaps was in charge, and he's doing an incredible job.
A round of applause for Jason.
It does not.
Thank you, Jason. And,
thank you.
And Darren, and Mark, and Chris.
It no longer is.
Yeah, that's right.
Reduce that statement to writing. Put that in the minutes, please. No, in all honesty, it's a team effort. As some of you have been out there, we have over 80, 85 people on site every day. Darren, Chris Perkins, and Mark Seals from my office are there almost every day. Darren's here in the courtroom with us today, but Chris and Mark are there right now because the site's open. It's a nonstop job. We're there from 6 in the morning till 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night some days. But it works well because of the team effort. We also have the National Guard on hand with us that has helped tremendously keeping traffic flowing and keeping folks organized, because if you've been there, it looks like a maze with all the barricades you've got to drive through. And without the National Guard there to help keep traffic flowing and letting the older folks know where to go, because they'll just stop and block traffic because it is somewhat confusing. But it's working well. So.
Outstanding.
Yeah. No action I have on A, unless one of you had something we needed to take action on. Item B.
Item B.
Consider such take appropriate action to make necessary purchases related to distribution sites in the amount not to exceed $50,000. This is additional to the $200,000 you've already authorized us for. This is for the logistics site supplies from anything from water to ice to tent supplies. We've had to move some of our tents this week from the airport location that we've already paid for, and they were paid up through May, to the Wood Forest site, because it is starting to get very hot and the sun, we're all getting sunburnt standing in the sun. So we've moved more tents out there to give the vaccine observers, the folks that are observing the patients as they wait their 15 minutes, some shade and cover from the elements. Since we've already paid for those tents, so it did cost us money to move them over. So this is where this fund would come from, is for logistics supplies related to the site. That's in addition to the monthly allocation you've authorized for that site.
Move.
You have a funding source.
Okay.
We need a funding source.
Funding source will be the
fund balance.
The
disaster fund?
Fund
we have
balance?
Not set that up yet. That is an item for a future court.
Right.
So
fund balance.
Yep. Yep. We will be bringing that to
motion
a future
to move
court.
From fund balance, Commissioner?
Yep.
Is there a second?
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Continue
item C on. Is specifically related to medical supplies. We are burning through gloves and syringes faster. And so I do ask the court for an additional $100,000 so we can purchase the necessary medical supplies to keep the site going.
Yes, I'll move on that. But also, I have a lot of gloves that Darren had supplied our precinct with for COVID that we're not
utilizing.
We can
come pick
up? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's probably 100 boxes.
Okay,
more.
We'll come reallocate. We can do that.
Funding source is
fund balance.
All right, we have a motion. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item D.
Item D is related to the meals. The court authorized us to purchase meals about a month and a half ago for $15,000. We have used that when we, depending on the partner we have, St. Luke's has been very great. They help supply meals for their staff and stuff. But since we've moved to Wood Forest, we have 60 National Guardsmen added to our daily roster there. We have about 30.
How many, Jason?
60 are on allocation to us. We have about 48 at any given time on the site each day. So we've increased the number of mouths we're feeding for lunch to keep the site open where we don't have to close. This request should get us about a month and a half to 2 months in addition to what we have left to spend on the original authorization.
Typically what you buy out of this is just lunches, right?
Yeah, we're buying like sandwiches or a barbecue sandwich or a cold sandwich from Jason's Deli and a bag of chips. It's nothing fancy. Very simple, so they can take it to their workstation and eat on the run, or take a few minutes to sit down in the break trailer and have lunch so we can keep the operation going.
And it is very necessary.
Yep.
I mean, I've been there, and I mean, those guys and gals are working, and they don't have time to break.
No, if we had to shut lanes down and stuff in order to stop for lunch, it would slow things down. So.
Not going to happen. All right, do we have a motion, and the funding source be fund balance? Do we have a motion? Move. Is there a second?
I'll second. How much money are we talking? Another 15?
This is a request for 25,000.
25.
So we...
Embedded National Guard.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries. Item number D.
And E here is an ILA. It's similar to the exact ILAs we've already signed related to this. This is with between the county and Shenandoah, City of Shenandoah. They are currently providing additional law enforcement support for traffic control and other needs there. We just like to make sure we can cover their expenses related to that. So.
Okay.
Move fund balance. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Jason, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Excellent.
Thanks,
well done.
Judge. Thank you.
Well done. All right. Community development. Becca.
Good morning, Judge Commissioners.
Good morning.
Discuss, consider, and if appropriate, approve the emergency rental assistance implementation plan.
Move.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Rebecca, who's getting the money and who's going to be distributing the money and how are we going about doing this?
Right now, we have four nonprofits: Interfaith of the Woodlands, Crisis Assistance, Society of Samaritans, and Easter Seals. Right now,
who? Easter Seals?
Easter Seals.
How much money is this again?
This is a little over $18 million.
That's the B here.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's four nonprofits that are going to distribute this money.
Yes, sir.
How are you going to determine who's getting what pot of money, how much?
They're putting in a request to the county, and based on that, we're going to get with the county attorney to get a contract together, and that's just a first round of funding. We're going to start with residents that have been waiting the longest, and once that list is exhausted, we'll get back with the nonprofits, see where they're at, and have them request more funds if needed.
Do we have any idea who's been waiting and where? Do we have any idea how many people in Precinct 2 are needing rental assistance? Do we
yes,
know
sir.
That number yet?
Yes, sir, we do.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So you got that number?
Yes,
sir.
You
know who's where and what they need
yes.
right now?
Yes, the residents are going to be put in with the nonprofit in their zip code, and we've got that list
okay.
in our database.
All right.
Rebecca, I want to thank you, and I want to especially thank the nonprofits that came together quickly and put together a plan in a matter of days to get this $18 million distributed. I can't wait for y'all to come back and tell us how successful you were at getting it done, but thank y'all for working so hard and so quickly to put a great plan together.
Thank you. All right. We have a motion to approve?
Yeah.
Move. Second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Consider and accept the Emergency Rental Assistance Program grant funds in the amount of $18,179. Rebecca?
Yes. Move.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
All right. Tammy McCray.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
Item 14A, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding tax abatement granted to HL Champion Holding Company, LLC, and ExxonMobil Corporation for Tract 4B2, which is 1.207 acres. They have two tax abatements. They have Building A and Building B, and this is Building B. The reason I'm bringing this to you today is because they are out of compliance as of their January reporting period. They were required to have 470 jobs, and as of their last report, they had an average minimum of 284 and an average maximum of 438.
Tammy. So which number are we working off, the 284 or the 438?
I took their 438, which is still below.
Okay.
And then their payroll over the last 6 months was down just over $1 million.
And, Tammy, this is when we received the WARN notice from Exxon regarding the layoffs that
mm-hmm.
were coming, I contacted the Woodlands Development Corporation. Jim Carman went out. He's the president of the development company. He met with Exxon and was assured by them that they were very well aware of the contractual agreement they had with Montgomery County with regards to the number of employees they had in each building, that they would satisfy that. And in conversations with Exxon since then that I've had directly, They did not follow through with that. They knew that they were going to have fewer people in Building B than they mm-hmm. should have had.
Right.
When my last conversation last week, I told them that, you know, my recommendation to the court was going to be to put them in default and that they would have 30 days to cure. They responded to me that their business owners or that business division would more likely just rather default than have to go through the process of hiring more people. So,
and they do have 30 days to cure. After court, I'll send a letter, a certified letter, to them notifying them of the court's action and giving them the 30 days to cure.
And that's, even the 30 days to cure is far more generous than we can give to our own voters.
True.
You know, there's nothing we can do. I think we have a record number of taxpayers that are going to be behind, be charged penalty and interest this year. And there's no 30 days for them to cure. They don't get that. And so, you know, Exxon is already getting more than our general voting taxpayers. So I move.
Let me ask you a question, if I may, Commissioner mm-hmm. and Tammy. If that's where the position is of the individuals of the county, now we have a business who made an agreement with Howard Hughes Corporation, then they have since admitted that they have not filled it. They've been given a warning. Are we, and we're not required to, then why would we not hold their feet to the fire right now as opposed to giving them a 30-day unless there's something in the contract or statutorily required?
Well, statutorily, we have to give them 30 days.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And this is 2021 is year 8 of their 10-year 100% tax abatement right. agreement. And so assuming they don't cure in the next 30 days, within the next 30 days, they would be declared in final default, and we would seek recapture of all those taxes.
What about in the 2 years upcoming, you'll recapture that, or they won't?
No,
won't qualify.
They would not qualify for the abatement and would be taxed on 100%.
And to put it into perspective, I think in total for all taxpaying entities, it's about $3.9 million that they'll be paying in back taxes.
Is for the county, the Woodlands RUD, and the township. I do believe there's another MUD that I do not collect for that I did not calculate recapture for.
Did COVID have anything to do with their numbers being down?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
You know, I understand.
That's not anything they've, during our conversation, that's not anything they've said to us.
That's brought up to try to.
BD?
Well, I was just going to clarify, yes. Both the statute, but also our tax abatement agreement does require notice of 30 days and an opportunity to cure. And each tax abatement, and this is one of the older tax abatements, so each tax abatement you have to look and see exactly what their requirements are. The requirements for this is the number of persons employed by the owner and or lessee at it, or its affiliates that actually office at the 8 floors of Building B. So that was where they fell. It's not total employees of Exxon in the county, it's the ones right. the actual office in that building.
Right. right. Okay.
Building A is in compliance.
And I made them aware of that this would be on the agenda in
yeah.
case they wanted to be here.
Right.
All right. Commissioner, you seems like you're on this. You want to make the motion? If you would, please.
Yes.
The motion is to
move to issue the letter of default.
Okay.
I second it.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Tammy. We appreciate it so much. All right. Conroe Regional Airport.
Ah. How are you?
Morning.
So I got a quick presentation.
Could you speak right into the mic? Since you're a little bit taller than the mic.
So good morning. I've got a quick presentation just to give you guys a quick update, overview of, you know, how the airport's been doing the last few years, and also to bring up an item that I will be bringing to the budget cycle. I want to give you guys as much heads up as possible so you have time to think about it. So our operations, and to give you an overview of what an operation is, every time a plane lands, it's an operation. Every time it departs, it's another operation. And they're classified as local, itinerant, and VFR, which itinerant is going to be IFR as well. And it's just how, if the plane is based at the airport, if it's based at another airport, was it during bad weather, was it during good weather? It's kind of how that's classified. So if you look, since 2011, our operations have actually increased almost 50%. We have broke the 100,000 operation threshold 2 years in a row, and we're actually number 33 in the nation for general aviation airports as far as our operation numbers. So we're looking really, really good as far as the growth of the airport, and the reason is some of the initiatives that you guys have done in the past, the runway extension, the runway overlays, the customs facilities, and that's helped to increase operations, which leads to new business aircraft that are moving in, that are also building around this area. The customs facility, when it was first put in, I think the expectation was in 5 years to hit 350 operations. We still have another year left, and I believe we're going to hit that number this year. If you look, you've got year-to-date through February. Last year, we took a little bit of a hit because they did restrict international flights. So we had kind of a hit last year. But this year, we're on track to hit well over that 350 mark that we had anticipated in 5 years. And so I think, you know, if you look at 2020, everybody knows what happened in 2020. And again, we were impacted on that because they did put a travel ban 100% for about 2 months. There were no international traffic. And so that did put a little bit of a damper on our customs. There's a couple things that I'm looking at to try and offset some of the cost of customs. I believe I sent a memo out to you guys a few months ago. One of the items is international trash. If a plane brings in trash from another country, it has to be incinerated. And we have a contract where we are charged to take that trash. We then charge the customer, so it's kind of an offset. It's a 0-0. We basically break even. That customer has actually gone up on our prices. So what I've been looking at is to utilize some grant funding to actually build a small incinerator. And this is nothing like the animal shelter. We're looking at about $20,000 to $40,000 for an incinerator. We would still continue to charge the customer the same rate. I don't want to go up on their rate, but I want to charge. And after about a year of operation, that would pay for the incinerator. And then after that, that revenue would then go back into the operation. So it's kind of our plan for that right now.
Who's going to burn it?
My staff would.
But you won't need another employee?
No, I will not. We are the only issue we have to get into is training. There may be some training dollars that are added for APHIS training. It would be a one-time expense for making sure we do all of our paperwork correctly and all that. You have to get certified.
And is there, like, are you familiar with the rules and regulations regarding that and the timing, how quickly it has to be burned? Mm-hmm. You'll have multiple staff members trained to do that?
Yes, sir. And we already kind of do, because the way we handle it, we are certified to handle regulated waste. It's strictly done by my staff, and all of my staff are trained on that. We are just not trained on the actual incineration and the paperwork that goes with that. So we have 72 hours to process that regulated waste to a provider.
How much are you talking about? How much waste? Because I'm thinking we are going to have a brand new big incinerator at the animal shelter. Could we transfer the waste there?
Possibly. I'd have to look on what the regulations for transporting it would be. But yeah, that's something I think could be looked at, because it's not a whole lot. On a weekly basis, we're probably getting 150 to 200 pounds of trash per week.
But it's increasing, though.
It is increasing, and it will continue to increase. Yeah. I don't see it ever getting to a point where it couldn't be transported by a truck.
Because you take it's transported now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I have to look at, because that company, Stericycles, who we use, you know, I don't know what permits are required for it being driven over the road. So I'd have to look into that, but it's something to look into for sure.
We'll have, by the time budget comes around, though, you're going to have some dollars and some things, and we'll know what's going on.
So I'm going to do this completely within my budget. I'm not asking for any additional money for that, for this portion. This is just giving you an update. Yeah, I'm not going to ask for any additional money for that. That's something I'm going to do within our current budget. And so I'll get into what one thing that I am going to be requesting in budget. But, yeah, the customs, that's going to be something I'm going to do internally within our budget.
Awesome.
And so because of the increase of traffic, we're getting a lot more use on our runways and taxiways. And we've done a really good job of supporting AIP projects, which is a lot like y'all's TIP, airport improvement projects. We put in requests through TxDOT. They basically put in and program our projects that are needed. They get funded based on a fiscal year. We request 10% match. So we've been doing those projects very well, and we've been maintaining. One of the items that that we pretty much have to do in-house, they don't really ever add that into the AIP projects, is kind of the visual maintenance of the runway, pressure washing and rejuvenating our markings. And so our markings are very precise. They're not like a road marking. A center line on a road doesn't have to be precise. Our markings are actually surveyed, and they have to be inspected about every 2 years. One of the main things is they have kind of like a, if you're testing your pool for chlorine, you have the color codes. They will put these cards on our runway next to our markings, and if the contrast is too much, they basically tell us you need to clean or remark your runway. So about every 2 years we get inspected, and about every 2 to 3 years we have to do one of two things. We either have to clean the runway to clean the dirt, mold, and rubber that is on the runway, or we have to remark. And remarking is usually about every 5 to 6 years, and we do try to add that into the AIP projects. We're lucky enough to get some of that funding, but the cleaning, we don't. And if you'll recall, in 2017, we had to have our runway power washed. And what I've basically got here is one of the options is a surface cleaning of the runway. The other is to actually remark. Currently, we need to clean. Our markings are fine. We have enough retroreflective beads to qualify. We're still good on that. But our mildew, mold, and rubber has gotten to a point where the contrast is a little dangerous. And that's this year. So it is back. I got a quote to do both runways, just like we did in 2017. And that quote was $153,450. And that's a local company that does it. They come out, and it takes about 2 to 3 days. We have to shut our runways down kind of one after the other so we don't lose operations. It's efficient, but due to the cost, we have never been able to do any of our taxiways or any of our ramp areas. They're not necessarily as required when our inspections come out. They're really just focused on the runways. But the visual look of our taxiways at night when a plane is taxiing, they can't really decipher the edge markings as well when it gets real dirty. And so that's something I really wanted to get into is getting the entire runway, or I'm sorry, the entire airport up to that standard. So with that, I'll show you some before and after from 2017 to give you an idea of what we're talking about here. So this is on runway 1, and on the picture to the left, that's that mildew that grows on concrete. It's unavoidable. Our keel, which is the center section of the runway, doesn't get it as bad, so we typically don't clean the keel because the tire, that's where the tires are moving, it keeps it clean. And this is an after, that's after the surface washing, and it rejuvenates the markings. You can see them, they're much brighter. The glass beads are cleaned off, so when a plane is landing, it brightens up the actual surface. So this is kind of a before and after. After looking into this, after 2017, I started looking into what it would take for us to do this in-house instead of having to contract that out every few years. At the time, the only equipment I was able to find was basically the equipment that the company we hire uses, and it's a huge rig. It's 2 18-wheelers with a tank, a vacuum, and it was well over $1 million. Not even in the realm of possibility, really, for factoring that in my budget. I reached out to the Houston Airport Systems. I have some pretty good colleagues that I have a good relationship with, and talked to them about their systems and how they do theirs. They do theirs in-house. Of course, they have 3 airports that they have to maintain. So it makes sense. They bought one of the bigger pieces of equipment. After, the guy that I spoke to at Houston told me about Jack Brooks in Beaumont, that they had just bought a truck that was a much smaller unit, could handle their size of airport, and it was a much more affordable unit. So I reached out to see what that would cost. They're through the HGAC buy board, so I got the price on that truck, and it came to $171,650. And that's also including a maintenance plan for, I believe, 3 years. They do the maintenance on it for 3 years. And so it's a slight increase over what it would cost to contract out, but then we would have that piece of equipment to do those runways from here on. And we would also be able to do our taxiways and ramps.
James, I have a question. The you know that you're facing $156,000 coming up?
$153,000 and some change.
And some change. And we've done this before. Was it about the same time before?
It was actually more expensive last time, but the reason why is we added there were some additional work we had done last time. It was about $181,000.
Okay, so we know that this expense is going to be coming.
Sure.
Have we been setting aside monies in anticipation of that in our budget?
No, we have not. Over the last few years, we've cut some budget and tried to be as tight as possible without, adding fund balance. So, no, we have not done that. And that was why I wanted to kind of bring this up to you guys before budget cycle, to give you an idea of what I've been looking at, what our options are. We are going to have to clean the runways. I mean, that's coming. And so I found an option that we would be able to do in-house, no additional staff. My staff would be able to do it. And it would service us for the future as well.
What else could you do with this truck?
The truck can basically clean any, and I've got a picture of it. I'll show you what it looks like. It's mainly used for parking lots, parking garages, and also runways. It also has a remote hose that has a standard power washer wand, so you can clean sidewalks, things like that on.
That's certainly not the truck I was expecting.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to run that thing up and down 100 times, up and down the runway.
This would take 6 passes to do one runway.
Does it have a hose? I mean, did you say it has a hose?
It does, but the way it works, there's actually underneath, it's a lot like a mower, so it's got a it's got a swirling head it's a cyclone. And it one pass and it's clean.
I
and
hope
it also
works better than the Ryobi one I bought. That thing.
it's pretty intense, I will tell you. The way some of the videos, the sales rep that I worked with, he sent me some videos on it, and the way Jack Brooks in Beaumont has been doing their runways, it's very efficient.
So if you had that, you would do this more than just
every 2 years.
Times.
Sure, we would more than likely. Right now my maintenance staff focuses on runway lighting, fencing. We have a lot of fencing we have to maintain, and a lot of mowing. And so basically when we've got downtime due to rain, bad weather, they're working on equipment, doing stuff like that. This would allow me to put a guy in this truck during rain events, slow times, and be able to do a little bit at a time and overall get the entire airport done.
Get a demo of the truck?
Matter of fact, the sales rep asked if we wanted a demo, he would be happy to come down and show us. He'll also said he would offer a rent-to-own plan if we wanted to look into that. And he said basically I think 60% of your rental would go towards the purchase if you decided to purchase it. So it's something we could do as well.
I think that's something we really need to look into. I mean, the airport's it's certainly growing and especially with the customs facility. I mean, it's really taken off. And that's
another thing. So it would allow us to also clean those ramps area where they're parking, kind of bring them up, make them look a lot nicer, newer pavement. It would take old pavement, make it look nice.
So James, what you're telling us is we need to be keeping $171,000 in the back of our brains until budget
time.
Yep,
for the FY 2022 budget.
Yeah, and that...
I have another question. How do you know what the lead time is on getting that truck? Because I bought stuff from Byboard before that takes 9 months to get in.
Yeah, I had an issue. I just purchased a trailer and it took a while from Byboard.
You don't want to have to spend the money to clean it and then buy that.
He told me, so Jack Brooks bought theirs. They just actually received it about a month ago. And I believe it was 3 months for them to get it.
Can you wait 3 months to clean?
Oh, absolutely.
Or can we wait a year? However long.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my plan, was to budget the cleaning for FY 2022 anyway, and so the extending it out it would be fine. If we were to fund it, say October of 2021, we could purchase it. The timing would be fine.
And Commissioner Walker, when Mike was here, he would know the answer to this question. So at one point in time, we had some pre-funded money sitting in an account for the airport. How much is in that today?
I don't know either.
Does anybody have that number?
Are you talking about the airport fund?
Yeah, we had some prepaid lease money? If you can find out, because that was probably an eligible expense.
You're supposed to ask me that before I get
to know. I wasn't trying to make you look bad, I promise.
That would relieve some of the pain of this whole deal.
I looked into trying to get some grant funding for this. The airport grants that we have, one of them is RAMP, Routine Airport Maintenance Program. Mm-hmm. It's not eligible. I'm actually currently working on a pitch to TxDOT to change that. One of the biggest problems I have with that program, and I know them really well and I understand their reasoning, but anything with wheels is excluded from the project. The argument to me that I give to them is routine airport maintenance. How is this not fitting in? I can hire a company to come do this under the grant, but I can't purchase the equipment. And so I'm...
Wait, so you can use grant funds to pay to have this done?
A portion of your grant fund. It's not 100, it's not 100% towards the grant. It's like a 25%. But it's also, you have to request it. And if you don't have any other items that are needed, or if you do have any other items that are needed at the time, they'll make you use your grant funding for that first before you can do that. They'll make you do crack seal, joint seal, fog seal, stuff like that before you'll be able to do that. So that's one of the things I'm actually, like I said, I'm going to pitch to TxDOT to try and change that grant, hopefully get that put in. One of the problems with most airports is grant funding is the only way for them to really get money, because airports are unfortunately not as funded as they should be or could be. We're funded very well. But one of the major items is mowing, so tractors. You know, a tractor and shredder combo to mow a 1,400-acre airport is quite expensive, and it really should be grant funded. And I think it would be helpful if the state would add that.
Grant funding for elimination of feral hogs out there?
I don't. There probably is. We're doing a pretty good job of that, though.
Excuse me.
We've also had some meetings with the city of Conroe, also on the airport. We've had two meetings so far.
Mm-hmm.
On.
Yeah, we're ultimately the airport is going in the direction of a FAR Part 139 certificate, and that would allow the airport to accept aircraft that are commercial. Not necessarily a commercial airline, but I'm not saying that's not going to happen. But we have a lot of interest in aircraft that have more than 30 seats, and that's what the FAA's magic number is.
Right.
We can handle them. We have the runway. We have the strength, but we don't have the certificate. And so that's one of the things that I've been doing over the past 3 years. We did a feasibility study that you guys helped fund, and I've been within our budget without asking for money. I've been doing some of the smaller projects, kind of the low-hanging fruit to get to that point. And now we're at a kind of a stage where it's the major purchases. And we have reached out to the city of Conroe, Commissioner Walker and I, and we're making really good strides. And I feel pretty confident that the city of Conroe is going to hopefully step up and start helping us with that and partnering instead of us being two separate entities. We partner with the airport. And so that's kind of an initiative that I took on and we've been working on. I think we're making really good headway.
One last question, mm-hmm. if I may.
Yeah.
Are you done? The when you showed us that picture a few moments ago, you saw the rubber on the one side and how they cleaned the rubber off. And then on the other side, you showed the rubber gone, clean, fresh paint.
That was not fresh paint.
That was
the old
that
paint
rubber?
That had the most of it's not rubber. The rubber is kind of in the keel. What that stuff is actually they call it Texas mold, and it grows on concrete. It's unavoidable. That's what it is. It basically covers a coating over the concrete because our concrete has a burlap finish to give friction to the aircraft. Well, in those little cracks and crevices, it holds a little bit of water, and it grows a mold and mildew, and that's what we have to clean off about every few years.
So that picture was the paint was underneath what we saw on the left side that we.
No, that's deceiving. So the number one would have been visible in the picture to the left. The 1,000-foot marks, which are the bigger white ones, I was actually standing on them, so it's a little deceiving. But the number one should have been visible in the left picture. Yes.
Okay, so on the right picture, you've got, looks to me like a cleaner right side than you do the left side. Is the right side been cleaned and the left side hasn't?
The center, so what we do on the center, like I said, the keel is not as important. So what we do in order to not damage any of the markings, because these pieces of equipment can actually remove some of the beads. So what they actually do is they turn down the pressure washer so that it's not as abrasive to keep our center line from getting eroded away. So we do a little bit lighter on the keel, but it doesn't have as much because that's where the tires are adding friction anyway.
Got it.
All right.
Thank you for your presentation.
That's awesome. Thank you so much
appreciate
for the information.
And like I said, I will be bringing those two options to the budget cycle. And if y'all have any questions, just let me know.
Thanks for the preparation.
All right, thank you.
All right, moving forward, item 16A, human resources. Dodie?
Good morning, gentlemen. Please consider and approve the extension of time for use by county employees of the remaining balance of their COVID sick leave until September 30th.
Move.
We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Let's
move forward. Library. Come on up.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How about you?
Good.
I'm asking that you consider and, if appropriate, approve a transfer of $3,118.38 from GHR position 4,500.3922 to GHR position 4,500.4157. This change would not alter the overall salary budget for FY 2021.
And did HR look at this? Does moving that money to that new salary, does it keep it within the salary range and grade?
It is. And in fact, the catalyst for this is that we hired an individual to a comparable position at another library in your particular area and offered a salary that would be commensurate with their experience. We promoted from within, and at another location in your area, and we've had an applicant with similar and, in fact, more management experience, and this would be necessary to have a comparable salary for that new individual to be coming to our area. They've moved into our region. They're currently working at a neighboring library system, and they're driving further, so they'd really like to work in their home area. We'd like to have their management experience added to our team, and it would be very advantageous to have that experience.
I'm sorry, Commissioner.
Oh, but did HR review the?
I don't know that they did. We have the variance within several locations, but it is within the pay grade for that position.
Well, typically, I mean, I have no problem with you trying to do that and wanting to make it happen, but for my vote, I want HR to have looked at that, see the PDQ, make sure that it stays within the range and the grade. That's typically what we ask all department heads and elected officials to do.
Well, it's not a new position. It's an existing position that already had been under. But
I just want to remind
everybody. Speak into the mic.
I'm sorry. I just want to remind everybody that in the budget hearings, you all did extend that elected officials could move money around within their own budget, but department heads could not do that based, to give increases. Just a reminder.
And that's the reason
consistent.
That Jalen is here, because the budget office and HR couldn't support it, just doing it outside of, coming to commissioner's court. Basically, what she's wanting to do is take money from a clerk 3 position and move it over to a librarian 3 position to get this qualified candidate that she's looking for.
We understand what she's trying to do. My question is, does it keep it within the range and grade? And HR hasn't seen it.
I understand.
And
it needs to go
to HR before it comes to court. That's what the standard practice has been. Thank you. So I vote to we defer this until next week so HR can have a chance to review it. That's my motion.
All right, we have a motion on the table. Is there a second? Motion dies for lack of second.
Jerry, how desperate are you to have this person?
Well, this person has been interviewed and has been waiting for almost a month for an answer back from us. They are very willing to come to work for us, but the compensation that is in the position is less than what the individual is making, and they can only wait so long.
Question. We've had 2 commissioners' courts.
Yeah.
You're saying they've been waiting a month. What are they waiting on? I mean,
well, because of the timing of getting a PCR to the court and getting an agenda item on the court, getting all the background documentation after an interview, and we did a background check, a very thorough background check on the individual, And so it has just taken a while to coincide our being able to come to you, having it on the agenda, and having the interview process completed. We'd like to have the individual on board.
So if we wait until the next commissioner's court, what you're telling us is they're gone forever, they're going to stay where they're at, or will they wait? Because it's not an unfair request that the commissioner is making. We have a process that what we do. Well, at the same time, we want to give you the credit as a department head.
And, well, I appreciate that.
You've been with us long enough to know what we expect.
The concern, I guess, that I have is that we already have an individual who came to us last fall who is within this same category, within this same pay grade, and was approved by the court at a pay that would be comparable to this, exactly the same amount.
With all due respect, nobody's arguing with you about that.
I mean,
what I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Commissioner, is you're just wanting us to do the process and make sure we have the data in front of us when we vote to do this.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just, I guess, using the example that it was approved by the court at that time.
Okay.
Oh, you're saying that it has been at one point in the past that it has been approved without
yes.
what?
For another position, exactly the same position.
Something similar that she's done in the past, Commissioner.
In that instance, there had been a extremely long-term individual in the position, and we replaced even at a lower salary than previously. I'm known for pushing two pennies together and trying to get a third one out of them, so whatever the court pleases the court, I'm happy to do. We'd just like to get a full complement of staff and move on before the summer when we're really busy.
Well, I'm kind of, I mean, if it's the procedure that we need to go through, if they can hold on for two more weeks till the next court.
The 3 week gap.
Okay,
actually, we're supposed to have a court Tuesday, a special session on Tuesday of next week. We can address it then.
Okay.
It's not very long.
Yeah.
So I'd like to remake my motion to defer it until the next court on Tuesday of next week.
Right. I'm happy to come back on Tuesday.
We have a second.
I'll work with Dodie in the meantime.
We have a second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Come back
and join us. Thank you. All right, let's move forward. Purchasing. Gilbert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our item today is to award the Project 2122 for a new air-powered water vessel for the Sheriff's Office. It's with the American Airboat, $85,250.
Move. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Thank you, Gilbert. Motion carries. Appreciate it very much. All right, at this time, we're going to recess Montgomery County Commissioners Court and convene public hearings.
Commissioner Walker, would you like me to handle these?
Yes, please.
Consider the partial replat of Lot 17 and Block 6, French Quarter on Lake Conroe, Section 2, to be known as French Quarter on Lake Conroe, Section 2, Partial Replat Number 1. The purpose of this proposed partial replat is to combine Lot 17 and a 0.162-acre tract into one lot. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing, and the notice has been mailed to the HOA. At this time, the plat is not ready and may be submitted for approval at a future date. Is anybody here to speak about this?
All right. Precinct 2.
Go ahead, Amy.
Consider and approve lowering the speed limit from 30 miles an hour to 20 miles an hour on all streets in the Forest Crossing subdivision. Is anybody here to speak about that? Item B2, consider the partial replats of lots 40 and 41 in Block 5 of Lake Conroe Village, Section 1, to be known as Lake Conroe Village, Section 1, Partial Replat Number 2.
The purpose of this proposed replat is to relocate the common line between lot 40 and 41. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing. The HOA has a no objection letter in the file. The plat submitted for Commissioner's Court approval under Agenda Item 20B under the County Engineer's item.
Okay. Let's move forward. Precinct 3.
Go ahead. We can do a public hearing on this, but this will be back on April 13th. Consider an approved change in the name of Southern Crescent to Southern Crescent Court in the Woodlands Village of Grogan's Mill, Lake Woodlands, East Shore, Section 1. No action will be taken on that one today.
Say no action or there is?
No action.
Okay.
And item D1, consider and approve all-way stop sign control at Galaxy Boulevard, Deer Run Lane, and Peach Creek Drive intersection. Is anybody here? And D2, consider the partial replat of a residual track out of Deerwood Subdivision Section 1 to be known as Deerwood Norte Section 2. The purpose of the proposed replat is to replat a reserved tract in Deerwood Section 1 as additional lots. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing. The notice has been mailed to the HOA. The plat is submitted for Commissioner's Court approval by the County Engineer, Agenda Item 20A. And I think that's
right.
It.
So we can reconvene.
Right.
So we can take action on
right.
Precinct 2, number 1, Precinct 4, number 1.
I move on 20A and B.
Okay.
Can I do that?
Yes.
Second.
So. Well, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
We
Thank
also
you.
Need a motion on 19B and on 19D1.
I'll move on those two, so 19A and 19B1.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Amy, procedural question. Do we have to read all of that every time, or can we just say as stated on the agenda, and you can print the other verbiage on there?
So I took out the recording and what section cabinets they were in when I was reading it this time, but I think for purposes of completion in the public hearing, it would be better to...
To read it, yeah.
Uh-huh. So that, especially so that we can correct if there are other things on the agenda that are inaccurate, making sure people know what they're talking about.
Some of the verbiage on one would say consider the partial plat, doesn't say consider and approve, and then you move down to another one that says consider and approve.
Right.
For the uninitiated who are looking at the agenda, that just because if it's consider the partial replat, then it goes to the next item under the county engineers, correct?
Sometimes. I think it is more of who's entering the item, agenda item, but we don't approve anything in public hearings. Everything comes out to Commissioner's Court.
Right.
So, and sometimes we are really close to getting a letter or additional information, so we'll add that, and sometimes you can take action by court and sometimes we can't.
Okay. All right. County engineer.
We've done those.
Did we just do that?
Yes. Charlie Riley, Commissioner Riley made the motion.
We went through, Commissioner, very fast. Thank you so much. All right. Then let's move forward. Commissioner, Precinct 2.
I'd like to take A2 before we go into the other A1, if I could do that.
Sure.
Considering
Let's go into A2.
Yes. Appropriate action, oversight of community development department, including its employees. I moved the consent item to open. I want everybody to understand I've got all the faith in the world in Rebecca taking over as the community grants director, community development director. My concern is if we've got her as a department head reporting to another department head as Gilbert in purchasing. What I would like to see is Rebecca as the director of community development, but I would like to see that she reports to the whole court. That would be my motion. That would be my request and my motion.
Okay, so that is a motion. Okay. Do we have a second before discussion? Is there a second?
I'll second that,
yeah.
Okay. And discussion.
Yeah, so 2 weeks ago, this court took action and asked gave me the authority to work with the CDBG department on some changes. And I did that, and one of those changes was having Gilbert work with Rebecca temporarily to make sure that she gets the support and the access she needs, both through him and through me, while we're getting the department reestablished. And so I'd like to keep things how they are for another couple of weeks and revisit it. You trusted me to make this decision and to do this, and I'd like to see it through. So I'd kindly like to defer Commissioner Riley's item for a few weeks just so I can finish this process that you guys asked me to start.
Well, I think we can all support Rebecca, and we can all support Gilbert. I would ask Gilbert to give her all the help that she needed. I don't know what kind of, how much restructuring it really needs to be done. My concern with all this moving around with the community development is all the grant money that's going to be asked for, and all the different nonprofits and all the different agencies that write grants to that department that has to be overseen and graded and scored by other folks. I mean, all that's got to be done. And I don't know whether restructuring right now in the middle of all that would be the thing to do. So I'm gonna stick with my motion and ask if that's what we do.
I'll stick with the second. I was the one that made the motion, Commissioner, and I commend you. I think you've done an outstanding job in taking care of matters that day and also putting this in place so far. But I don't see any reason that I don't, knowing what I've known of Gilbert and the time that I've been here, I think that you would continue to support or do whatever you can. You've always honored any request that I've ever made of you to help out and put the county first in your dealings here. And I don't think you would change that. And thank you, Rebecca, for doing this. Thank you, Commissioner, for your efforts in taking care of business. I think you've done a great job.
If I may, in our last meeting, I mean, it's only been 2 weeks, and we voted 4-1 in favor of this. And I do not disagree with what you're saying. I was one of the votes that voted in favor of the structure that we had established. We're looking at it over, I think, as a period of weeks, and that we go with what we said we were going to do. I mean, we just voted on it last session. I think that with Gilbert and the commissioner involved, and we all still have insight into that. If there's any question,
maybe I was didn't understand, but I thought we were asking Commissioner Nowak to take care of what needed to be taken care of then, and then we were going to go right back to how we were structured. Now, if I misunderstood that, then that's my fault.
But well, that was my understanding. I feel the same as you.
They'll think that she needs to report to the whole court like every other department head is doing.
I agree with that. I mean, I don't know how much restructuring that we're talking about. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, and I don't know, Amy, if we need to move part of this into executive session to have that conversation. But, yeah, I mean, there are issues that we are working to resolve as we speak. There are things that need to change, quite honestly. There is a tarnished vision projected by CDBG within the nonprofit communities, and I think every member of this court knows that. And we are working really hard to change that perception. And as evident, within 2 weeks, we have a large group of nonprofits here to support our endeavor to deliver $18 million to the community. So,
we've already established that, though.
It hasn't even gotten started yet, and my office has been deeply involved in it because you guys asked me to get involved with it. And so to now say differently is a little frustrating.
All right, is there any more discussion? All right, we have a motion on the floor to go back to move the position to report to the entire court. And so the motion is on the floor. All in favor of doing that?
Aye.
I'll do that.
Got three? I'm opposed.
Opposed.
I'm not opposed, just so you know, to the idea of reporting to the court. But we haven't given it enough time.
No, and I'm not either. I'm fine with that part.
But it'll all work out. We'll make it work.
For sure.
All
one
right.
way or another.
All right. Thank you. Let's move forward to the next item, Commissioner.
Okay.
Back to A.
A1, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding the non-consent towing rotation ordinance. I know there's some towing services out here that probably want to speak on this as the agenda item is here. But I want to say I'm still concerned about some of the smaller or some of the companies that are not getting as many tows as they think they should. I'm concerned about some of the storage lots that were set up with the 24 zones we had and folks put a storage lot as close to that to those zones as they could. And then when we went to the four zones, some of these folks are just right over the line and can't get into that zone. I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about some of the calls that I'm getting copied on of wreckers services that are on rotation. They accept a call that somebody six or eight services before or companies before them have declined, and they take the call, and they know right up front that they may not make the 20 minutes. They let the dispatcher know. They're told to go ahead and take the call and move on. Then they get stopped by something else blocking the road, a train or something else has gone on, so they pick up the phone and call dispatch again. They tell them to proceed. They got another 4 minutes. They get there, they're a minute late or whatever, and the deputy has already called for the second wrecker that's going to be 45 minutes to get there. And by the time he gets there, the deputy or someone, I don't know how this works, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing, someone has already told the second service to disregard and gives the tow to the first guy. So they waited that many minutes or hours, almost 2 hours, and the guy that was originally took the call after six or seven people have declined it gets the call. That doesn't seem like that's making too much progress to me. Other thing I'm worried about is a couple of people, a couple of services that have been written tickets for speeding and unsafe driving. I mean, we had somebody that was exceeding well over the speed limit, and then we've got another one that I know of that unsafe lane changes and cutting through a parking lot to go around a traffic signal, and those things we just don't need to have that going on. So those are some of my concerns, and I told the court last time that I was going to bring this back up, and I was going to make a motion, but I'm going to wait and hear if there's anybody that's going to try to convince me different today what we need to be doing. I'm certainly willing to sit here and listen, and I know we've hashed this out over and over and over and over, but there's still a lot of concerns as far as I'm concerned.
Well can I put my, you know, when you put a 20-minute timeline on people and they know where they're at in the community, in the county, there's a lot of places I can't get to in 20 minutes and I leave ahead of time. You know, this is something that's you're going to cause people to speed. I mean, they're trying if they get there in time, they get the call. So it's, you know, I don't see how you can win in this deal unless you give them more time, which more time creates the roadway to be blocked with an accident. I wish I had a good answer for all of them. I get phone calls. I talk to people all the time. And
you know, well, there's a couple of issues. One, the reason why we went to this methodology of a rotation over chipping was because of the huge number of complaints we were getting from the constituency about the number of tow truck drivers on a scene and about the fact that they were all racing to get to one scene versus 15 of them maybe trying to get to one scene, which was a big, big problem. And we had picture after picture of there being 20, plus wreckers on the side of the road, making the accident scene much more dangerous. Law enforcement wanted us to make a change. Sorry, my allergies are killing me. Wanted us to make a change. The people wanted us to make the change. We went to the legislature, went through the process, and I don't think there's an option of going backwards. And what I mean by that is we are weeks, month, a couple of months maybe away from going to an encrypted radio channel, which means that the tow truck drivers will not have access to it. They will not be listening. They will not know when the calls are dropped. You've got to have this rotation. You've got to have the rotation in place. And I think that's a big, big factor. The I'm in South County. I think we have 75% of the tow truck drivers that in the whole county did agree with this rotation system. And I don't think you're ever going to find people happy. When we were chipping, there were tow truck drivers that wanted us to have a rotation. I mean, I don't know what percentage, but quite a few. And I don't know what the right answer is, but I can tell you that this court cannot constantly tell the sheriff how to do this job. We put it with the sheriff's department. He has the responsibility. How it's supposed to work is we adopt the ordinance and we give it to the sheriff to implement. We can't tell him how to do it. And legally, we can't tell him how to do it. We pass the rules. He's responsible for implementation. So there's not much this court can do mandating him to do it a particular way. And I think that sends a wrong message. I think that if we are going to support our sheriff, we need to let him know that, look, give him some time. Nobody said this is perfect today. The goal is to make it more perfect along the way. And, I mean, we got to have a longer time frame and horizon than just, you know, every 2 weeks or every month wanting to make a change. And so that would be my counter.
We had a court meeting where this was discussed. We listened. I got to the place where I was ready to go back to a chipping system, and of which seemed to be very much to the approval of everybody who was in the court of our drivers. And so we called a special meeting, and in that special meeting, we came to some conclusions just a few weeks ago that we put some things in place that we believed would help us matriculate through this process, with the understanding that, okay, it's there. We know there are some possible glitches in it. They've been reported to you. And I would have to concur again that we, now that we've done it, to give it some time and give the sheriff the opportunity to, where there are these complaints or arguments or whatnot, to continue to perfect the process. Just because we decided we weren't going to do chips and go to this doesn't mean we're not going to have glitches along the way. Just that one meeting alone turned it from 24 zones to 4, or however many it was. And so we've kind of taken the position, I think, to let the sheriff do it, and it is changing and moving in a particular direction. You know, the tows that we're regulating are non-consent tows. That's the biggest deal in this whole deal. And as non-consent, we're just trying to be fair and equitable to the owners, the drivers, to the storage lots, to everybody. And we kind of turned it over to the sheriff, and I think at this point it's too early to pull the plug on what we just decided a few weeks ago and let them matriculate through it and make it work, is my thinking.
Well, I agree. I think the sheriff is in charge at this point, and have to work it out. I will say that if I'm in an accident and I want a specific tow company to pull my car, I should be able to request
that. You can.
I've been told that some people have not received that, you know, that somebody has asked to have a certain wrecker company move their car, and there's an urgency to move this wreck out of there, so they move it. And
something that hasn't been mentioned is the law other than the sheriff implementing it, is the safety and law enforcement, the time frame out there. I talked to Constable Hayden, and he said the I didn't talk to DPS this past week about it, but Constable Hayden's told me yesterday that the response times from his people are better. It's better. Now, that's in Precinct 4. I don't know about across the county over there, and that's the report I get from him, that it's better, much better than it was in the beginning.
Are any of y'all getting complaints?
Zero.
Getting phone calls?
Not at all.
Well, again.
I haven't in the past couple of weeks.
But I didn't get a lot of complaints ever, I mean, when we went to it initially, so some, but not a lot.
Complaints as far as people fussing about?
No, from the tow services. Are y'all getting any phone calls from tow services?
Well, given where we're at, if there's no comments on that, Commissioner, you had mentioned that you're going to wait and see what.
Well,
so the discussion has taken place before a motion. Do you still want to make a motion? Or do you want to, what would you like to do?
I want to say this, too. I don't want anybody here to think that I don't support law enforcement. And I know there's going to be some people at the sheriff's office thinks I'm against them. That is not the case. I'm certainly not against anybody from the sheriff's office. That's not me. I'm concerned about some of these guys that's not going to be able to make a living that's been doing this for I don't know how many years that we've changed, and we've all kicked this around, and we've all said this to the sheriffs to implement. Well, I'm getting phone calls from people telling me that the sheriff's office telling them to call me. I'm not the one that's going to do this. I don't implement this. They do. But I still think there's got to be a better way when you've got some of these zones that have rotated through six times, or again, close to six times, and some of them hadn't even went through two times. There's something that's just not working out right. And I don't know what it is, but there's something that just doesn't sound right. So if we want to have discussion, fine. If we don't, if any record drivers want to say anything, now's the time to do it, as far as I'm concerned.
Or the sheriff or Captain Dunlap, if they're working those, yeah. I feel like they are.
Amy, is...
Yes.
Can we have an open meeting on this discussion?
Sure. Commissioner would like to hear from someone on his agenda item? Yes. Unless the court makes a motion to stop discussion.
Well, say that again. I mean,
if you want to hear a discussion, Commissioner Riley is saying that he would like to hear from some of the people here on that topic. Unless somebody makes a motion to move for a vote and stop the discussion, you could have discussion at the court's choosing at this point. So you would need...
Somebody can call the question if they
somebody
want.
Call the question, basically. There isn't a motion.
It's not a motion.
There's nothing. So it's just discussion. He's asking for discussion under his agenda item.
Correct me if I'm wrong. To have this kind of a discussion, doesn't it have to be announced?
It's noticed. And there's, you can hear from people or you do not have to.
Okay.
It's the will of the court.
Okay.
No. You had the concern. Mayor may not be able to address that.
I want to comment. Now's the time to do it.
Okay, proceed.
Good morning, gentlemen. Here we are again. Same topic. I have a packet that I'd like to hand out to you, gentlemen. I should have received this already, but I want to make sure.
Thank you.
Happy for our discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rotation. The packet that you'll see is what Commissioner Nowak discussed, that it is 75% of the towers in Montgomery County that are in support of the rotation. As was mentioned by Commissioner Nowak.
By precinct, like, or is that what this shows us?
It
north?
Is. This is the districts.
So
and
let's
you
just
can
go.
See.
So north, does that mean that all 14 out of 14 are in favor?
Yes, sir. North, so, you have 14.
And north would be precinct one, roughly
yes.
speaking.
South, you have all but one company, so you have 10 in favor. East, you have, 17. So you have 17. You have zero support from the west side All three other districts are running smoothly and in favor of continuing what we have. I just want to remind you, which Commissioner Nowak alluded to earlier, that the reason you voted for this back last year was because of the reckless driving from the tow truck drivers, which we're all guilty. We've all had complaints. Multiple trucks on side of the road at accident scenes. And lastly, and most importantly, is public safety, law enforcement safety, and traffic control. These are why Montgomery County needs this. Each of you had the complaints. We all know that. There's more problems with the chipping system, and I can go into that if you want, but I'll just tell you that Texas Department of License and Regulation, who is the government entity that regulates tow trucks, has identified Montgomery County as one of the problems. There's two problems in the state of Texas with the chipping and the flipping, and we're on there. I can show you the video from last week that identifies us, and to me, that's pretty embarrassing. It's pretty embarrassing that our county is at one of the top for fraud in there. I can go on and on. You did allow the Sheriff's Department to make changes as necessary, and that is happening. They are working with us. 3 months ago, no one was happy. New Year's Day, there was not a soul in the towing business that was happy. 3 months later, we're seeing progress. I think, again, the committee that we ask for, that you gentlemen each appoint a committee member from your district, could help. We can work through these changes. Commissioner Riley, we can work through some of those problems. If you let the Sheriff's Department run with it, I think we can all work together. It's our industry, and we're the experts in this. This works all over the United States, and a 20-minute ETA is not unreasonable. Yeah, you're going to have problems like everything else. Why can the entire United States do this, and Montgomery County can't?
Are there fewer accidents in the West? I mean, why would they have only gone through their rotation once or twice?
I can't answer that.
I mean, can anybody answer that? Well, somebody.
So the West area is the only one that is not happy?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's hear from
100%.
The West.
100%. Thank you.
Somebody come up here.
You want to call on people?
Y'all have any numbers in front of you? Have anybody given y'all any numbers as far as how many cars have been towed in this county since January 1st?
I don't know.
Maybe y'all need those. Y'all need those. Those will give you your black and white answers of where these cars are being towed from. And you've got record drivers saying, well, if they quit dropping first records and the cops use a rotation, it'll work. They're still dropping first records every day. Every day in every zone, north, south, east, and west. There's more cars towed in the east zone than there is in any other zone. The west zone and the north zone is incorporated by Willis and Conroe PD. We have less than 2 miles of 45 in the north zone because the rest of it is incorporated areas. District over in the east, they don't. They've got all of 59. The west, there's not much population out there. So when y'all divided it to the four, look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. The number of cars towed in the east and the number of cars that towed in the west, I promise you, 40, maybe more. Cars being towed in a day's time, there's probably, I don't know, we got somebody from the east zone here, Saddle Creek EMC. How many cars towed a day? 15 cars a day in a 24-hour period. In the north, since y'all went to the four zones, only loaded five rotations, guys. I can promise you the north zone don't get 18, 15 cars a day, but the east zone does, so they're happy. They're making money. But the west side, how many cars y'all towed in the west side? How many rotations y'all have had? Four? Five? Seven?
Yeah, seven. You may get one car every 3 or 4 days at the west zone compared to the south where you go for a rotation call.
So you need to come to the podium, sir. Guys, I signed up for 24 zones when this started. I ran 24 zones. Now I've got just 4 or 5, and I got 4 or 5 of the ones that don't tow nothing. And it's not that they don't tow nothing. They're incorporated by the city of Conroe, the city of Willis, city of Cut and Shoot. They all have their own tow ordinance.
Here's, if I may, can I just make a
comment? Yes, sir.
Because I appreciate it and I understand your passion. I'd probably feel the same way if I was in your position. As we look at this, though, we have been in favor, against, chips.
You're not going to make all four areas of this county
happy. We have all this stuff going on, and we just had an emergency meeting where we came to this conclusion and we turned it over to the sheriff to move forward on this. And if there's glitches in it, we're just going to have to process through it. But at some point, we, as a county, we can't just keep going back and forth and back and forth. And it just seems to me we just have not given the sheriff adequate time here to make this work.
When judging, it sounds like it might be working. They said they've had 7 rotations.
Yeah, I mean it's...
What the issue is
compared
not,
to 18? Compared to 18 in another district?
That's just
but
how
you didn't
works
give
out
these record service... No, it's not how it works out. You didn't give us the opportunity to... I've run half this county for over 15 years, and now I'm being told...
I have an argument with you here. I'm just saying...
It's not an argument, sir.
It is working. The rotation is working. You just are unhappy with the number of rotations in each zone.
It's working for some, not all.
It's not working fair and equally, like the law states.
All right. Well, I'm going to make a motion that we leave it exactly how it is, and I'd like to...
We have a motion on the table to leave it like it is. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
We have a second. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay, 4-1. Thank you all very much. We appreciate it. And let's move forward. All right. Now, executive session. If you all will hang with us just a little bit, we're going to go to executive session, and then we'll be right back. Commissioner's Court. And we are coming from our executive session. I think we have a motion.
Yes, sir. I'd like to make a motion to have to reimburse Commissioner Metz for the purchased vehicles in regards to claim number U210020. I'd like for him to be fully reimbursed from contingency or fund balance wherever the funds are available back to his budget.
To his road and bridge, right? All right, we have a second.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right, thank you. Let's move forward. Item number 24, are there any citizens who are here that would like to make any comments? All right, if there are none, are there any miscellaneous items or notices we need to know about? If there are none,
I would like to pass out a thank you. Y'all notice that we signed about 70 plat maps up here today. I think it's maybe the most we've ever signed, and that doesn't just happen. So I'd like to say a thank you to Jeff Johnson and the county engineer's office, Dan Wiles and his team, for their hard work on working on the plats, and B.D. Griffin and Amy and John McKinney in the county attorney's office. It's a lot of work that goes into this on their part, and sometimes they get requests from others to maybe expedite that for different reasons, and they always do an outstanding job. So thank you to all those that I just mentioned.
Commissioner, that's a great point. I think that also of Montgomery County shows we're open for business, right?
Absolutely.
That's right.
I think we also have like 20 public hearings coming at the next court, so y'all get ready. Like 20 public hearings.
Wow.
We have a lot of replats coming. Yeah.
If there's nothing else, we have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much.
I forgot about it.
And until next time.